Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm the pastor of Release City Church, and this is our podcast. I'm super excited that you tuned in, and I really hope today's message encourages you, gives you a sense of hope, and inspires you to pursue all that God has created you to be. Now, let's jump right into today's message.
We never saw this coming. Life had its usual rhythm, work, family, school. Then it happened. Now, here we are. Faith in one hand, doubt in the other, wondering which weighs more. We stand before you, Lord, hurt and confused. Some of us are on our knees in shock. Our hearts weep with deep grief. We never saw this coming. Not today, not now. So here we are, broken, hurt, worried, wounded. But we don't have to wonder where you are. You promise to be close to the brokenhearted. You save those crushed in spirit. You heal us and bind up our wounds. You are the God of comfort. You weep with those who weep. You are not a God that watches from a distance. You are a God that steps into our suffering. You promise to wipe every tear, so we bring you all of them. You bind up the wounded, so we uncover our hurt. You bring beauty from ashes, so we hand you what's left. We call for your comfort. We call for your promises, but most of all, we call for you.
And the church said, amen. Anybody else thankful that we serve a God that we can call on at any time of the hour of any day? Are you excited for that this morning? Amen. So good. I love that video. The Bible teaches us that he is close to the brokenhearted, and it goes on to say that he will rescue and save those whose spirits are crushed or have been crushed. And I just got to say, if you're here today and you feel like you feel like you've been crushed on the inside, or your dreams have been shattered, or maybe you're here today because of and you're dealing with or struggling with a broken relationship, I just want to tell you today that you have come, showed up to the right place on the right day. Amen. Do you believe that this morning in the house? Can somebody give God praise in this room today? Amen. Well, welcome to church. Welcome to Release City. Adam already let. All I got to say is August 30th. Is it the 30th or 31st? Is it the 30th? That Sunday for the back to school. College football kickoff weekend. I just have a feeling it's going to be crazy up in here. The fact that you guys are already itching to do your thing. I just got to go ahead and warn you, Pastor B has been preparing for 365 days for that. And so you come with whatever you want. I've got mine. I've had Amazon and UPS dropping stuff off every day, just about. And so so I'm just telling you, you better come, or your color may be outdone. Amen. Did I hear somebody say there was another Buckeye in the house? Hey, welcome to God's house. Amen. Hey, come on, Release City. Let's show them some love. Amen. I know the Bible says that there's room for everybody in heaven, but I did not know he had swamp property in heaven. But I'm just saying. Y'all be ready. It's gonna be something serious. It's the only, like she said, it's the only day where we have a divided house, but we still love each other. Amen? Amen. 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 I'll take a picture with a gator for just a minute. Are you ready to get into God's word today? Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be gone again. Last week, we flew out to Texas to be a part of Aiden's wedding, Aiden and Trinity. Aiden, Nikki, who runs our cafe, is Aiden's mom, and he is officially married and moved and is living in Texas, and we just had a great time out there. I'm telling you what, there's a different kind of heat between Texas heat and Florida heat, and we went from one extreme to the other, and I'm just like, please, Jesus, bring some coolness to this state of Florida. But it was great to be out there, but it is exceptionally an amazing time to be back here in God's house with family. Amen? Amen. If you brought your Bible this morning, go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Hey, guys, we are not going to talk about the subject from the past, I don't know, several months. We're going to do something new. Everybody say something new. Something new, something fresh. I've never, ever preached anything from this particular passage of Scripture. It may be one you're familiar with. We've referenced it a lot, but never really went there. So we're going to go there today. In studying the Bible, I discovered that over 50% of the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are written in red. And for those of you that don't know, these were the things that Jesus himself said, and they were recorded. So today we're gonna lock in to some stuff that Jesus said. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, say, he said it, it must be good. So we're gonna take a look at that today. Are you there yet? Luke chapter 19, and I'm gonna begin with verse 30. I'm gonna read through verse 41, so stay with me, or you can read on the screen. Go into that village over there. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Go into that village over there, he told them. And as you enter, you will see a young donkey tied. You will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Everybody say, aw. Yeah, it's sad. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying the colt, who would have thought that the owners would have stepped outside? The owners asked, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all of the wonderful miracles they had seen. And they were saying, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, which, by the way, are the religious people. The Pharisees, they're the ones that think they have it all together. They're the ones that say, we're definitely going to make it to heaven one day. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying these things. Things like that, he replied. If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Father, I thank you for this time together around your word. I ask God that you would expose and reveal something to us today from your word that we've never seen before. Father, decrease me so that you can increase in this room. Touch hearts and lives today. Transform us from the inside out. And when we leave here today, may we be able to say we have been in the presence of the Lord, and then we live a changed life. And that's your prayer this morning. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to speak to you today from this subject, between a rock and a hard place. Between a rock and a hard place. Anybody ever been there? Anybody feel like, yeah, I've got my face pressed up against the rock right now, and it's not rock Jesus, it's all this other stuff that I got going. Anybody? This concept between a rock and a hard place actually comes from the early 20th century, where some miners in Arizona wanted to strike because of the cruel and horrible working conditions that they were in. As a matter of fact, historically, the miners were in some pretty dangerous places and situations, just trying to do their job, and they were literally stuck between a rock. That was where they worked. That's the place or location where they worked. And a hard place. What was the hard place? The hard place was the alternative. Everybody say alternative. We know that as unemployment. So they were stuck between the situation that they are currently in, or they had another choice. We can walk away, but now we're going to put us and our family in a hard place. So basically, they would either have to succumb to these cruel working conditions, and then they can't provide for their family. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place. Have you ever been in an impossible situation where no matter what decision you made, it just didn't feel like it was going to have a good outcome? Anybody ever been there? It's like, I'm so stuck right now that if I look to the left, I'm still going to be stuck. And if I make a decision, go to the right, I'm still going to be stuck. God, help me get out of this mess. Anybody ever been there? Anybody there right now? Again, you've come to the right place. We're going to equip you with what to do next. Everybody say next. It's been said that these types of situations, being stuck between a rock and a hard place, that there are only two options that we have. And whenever you find yourself stuck between a rock and a hard place, the first option that you have is one that Dad would hammer into us all the time, and that is keep pressing forward. That's option one. Option two, which is the one that most people tend to gravitate to because it's the easiest, but this option, I got to tell you, will cost you the most. What is it? Option two, to retreat and go backwards. You have two options, my friends, when you face a situation and you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. You can either keep pressing. Eventually, it will break if you don't break. Hello. And as long as you're walking with God, He's not going to let you break. Or you have the option of retreating and going backwards, and that comes at a very high price. In studying this week, something that really stood out to me from this story was, here was Jesus riding on a donkey. I know when I first read this, y'all remember Shrek? This donkey that's in this story was not the cute little lovable donkey played by, I believe, Eddie Murphy, right? You're like, oh my gosh, he's been watching that demon-possessed crazy cartoons. It's all good, okay? It's all good. Here was Jesus riding on this donkey, and the Bible says that the crowds began to shout and sing as Jesus passed by. They were literally praising God for the miracles that they had already seen. And I just got to stop right here and say this, that when God has done something incredibly amazing in your life, you will shout and cause a scene. So, well, I'm just not from that denominational background. Well, then I just got to ask, has he ever really done something incredibly amazing? Well, I'm just not wired that way. Listen, when God truly gets a hold of your heart, you will throw out all of your wiring. When I go to the Buckeye games, plug, and they do some crazy, phenomenal stuff, it's everything I can do to hold me in the seat. I won't talk about the Buckeyes. We'll save that for a few weeks. When I would go to Chiefland basketball games, when we first moved back, it's easy to see. There's one thing about going to a football game. You're so far removed from the field. But when you're at the basketball game, you right up there next to the ref. You know, the one that made the bad call. Hey, buddy, can you see? You know what I'm talking about? Like those kind of comments start coming. I start boiling. I'm very competitive, in case you haven't noticed. And I remember Amy she'd be like, babe, you got to sit down. Remember where you are, who you are, and who's around you. I'm like, yeah, they're hollering. I'm hollering too. Come on, let's go. It threw all my wiring out the window. What am I saying? I'm saying that when God truly gets a hold of your heart, you're going to throw out what it looks like. You're going to throw out how it feels. You're going to throw out, well, I don't do that in the Baptist church. I don't do that in the Methodist. Listen, those denominational tags, they ain't none of them in heaven. Just born again Christians. Which also includes the Gators, yes. But I'm saying, listen, I'm trying to get rid of that mindset that, well, I'm just going to, listen, when he gets a hold of your heart, you will be uncontrollable in expression of what God has done. And that's what was happening that day. Here they are rejoicing because of everything that they had seen Jesus do. And I guess you could say that they were turned up. And the religious people demanded that Jesus make them stop. And Jesus tells them, turn down for what? If I tell them to stop, the rocks are going to cry out. And I thought about this week. I thought the enemy hasn't changed his tactic. Y'all know what he really wants to accomplish? He wants you to be quiet. And the enemy was using the religious people of that day to approach Jesus and demand, make them stop. May we never become a church. It will all be done in decency and in order. But may we never become a church that tries to withhold and stop the moving of the Holy Spirit. See, when we're up here leading worship, we're not trying to get you to be expressive in worship because it makes us feel good. No, we're trying to get you to make some noise and be expressive because we know it will make you feel good. There has never been a Sunday that I have not walked in here on a particular Sunday and didn't feel like doing this. But there's never been a Sunday that when I was having that moment or that in my flesh that I didn't worship God and be expressive, and that I my emotions and my feelings about my situation changed. There was never a moment that didn't change, because I'm just telling you, it will do something on the inside. Everybody say, my praise is a weapon. It is. Amen. See, he wants you to be quiet. He's not even concerned if you come to church or not. What he doesn't want to happen is for you to wake up and realize that your praise is actually the weapon that can defeat his plan to sabotage your life. So when we're up here and we're leading worship like we just were, and we're just flowing. We didn't talk about, Cole, don't sing there. We want them to sing. When I felt the Holy Spirit in this room and I heard your voices over ours, I wanted God to hear your voices over ours. Sometimes throughout the week, he would actually like to hear from you worshiping him outside of this room. Write this down. If you're still confused about, well, how do I become expressive? Let's write this down. The power of your praise is found in the process that it took to produce it. It's the process. It's the temporary season that God is trying to walk you and lead you through. Praise and worship is not entertainment. It's not so we can look at cool lights. It's not so we can watch talented people. It's so that we can get our eyes off of us and onto him. Because we're the one that got us in the situation we're in. That were at church going, God help me, we did that. Well, let me talk about me. I did that. But when I fix my eyes on him, on Jesus, it changes my mindset and my mentality, and I change how I respond and react. What am I saying? The devil wants to keep you quiet. As a matter of fact, the sound that you typically hear when you reach a hard place, anytime you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, the noise or the sound that you hear is actually silence. Because he operates best through isolation. And what happens when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place is we retreat and we go back and we isolate. And we get so far removed that nobody, that's why God says, don't forsake yourselves from assembling together as the church. Because if you're in the room and we sense you're going through something, we're coming at you. But if you are so far removed, I don't even know you're here. I don't even know you're going through anything. The devil wants to keep you quiet and make you silent. And he's trying to put you through hell to quiet your mouth. That's why I said, maybe sometime this week you need to break out some worship and start letting him hear your worship outside of this room of worship. Because by the way, in case you didn't know, you actually were created to do just that. All this other stuff we get caught up in is not even what we're supposed to be about. It's about worshiping Jesus. Somebody shout it out again. My praise is a weapon. Say this, say, my praise has power. Listen. Sometimes you're gonna have to proclaim the goodness of God even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't feel good, even when it doesn't look good, even if you don't see the hand of God, you gotta know that his hand is behind the scene working on your behalf. I like to say this all the time. Even if you can't trace him, you still gotta trust him. Y'all remember in school we would trace something? And you know, like you have to put the object there so you can trace it. Well, sometimes God isn't visible so you can see him, but you still got to trust and know that he's right there with you. Another thing that stood out to me in this story was the fact that here was Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, yet he was riding on a donkey. Listen, kings don't ride on donkeys. Kings ride on war horses and stallions. So you know their entrance. They know that they're making a grand entrance, right? And I know that's contrary to what we're used to because we don't have kings in here. But I'm telling you, when the president rolls up, he got a beast. Yeah? And so kings don't ride on donkeys, but not Jesus. He rode in on a donkey. Now, if you know your Bible history, you know that there was only one other time recorded in history that Jesus rode a donkey. When was that? The first time was when he was inside his mother's womb, heading to Bethlehem to make his arrival into the earth. So that means not only was he on a donkey on his way to be born, but he was also on a donkey on his way to die. The story we're in just a few days later is when what we know as the crucifixion of Jesus. I think it's noteworthy to point this out, that humility, because that's what he was doing. Most kings would say, put me on the greatest horse you have. Jesus said, no, put me on the most humble looking. So you can write this down. Humility can be seen in the way you enter and the way you exit. Matter of fact, I think I heard Dad say that to us in other different ways, but that's basically what he was saying. It matters how you enter and it matters how you exit. People who come in the church and they sign up for everything and, man, we love you, Pastor B, making a big scene on the way in, but they're real quiet on the way out. I've always thought, if you really felt comfortable like God was really moving you out, have a conversation. I know I'm sidetracking just a little bit, but it matters how you enter a relationship and it matters how you exit. See, I'm not a keeper of the aquarium. That's not my heart. My heart is to be a shepherd to the sheep. It matters how you enter an occupation, your job. It also matters how you exit one. Oh, we love it when we pass that interview with flying colors. But then when we get asked to actually do some things to earn the paycheck, can't stand that place. Then we, on the way out, we blow up the exit interview. It matters how you enter, and it matters how you exit. And Jesus was the greatest example. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, I want my entrance and my exit to be clothed in humility. And don't miss this. It wasn't just any kind of donkey. The Bible says it was a colt. Anybody know the difference between a colt and a donkey? It's still the same animal, but anybody know what it is? I'm not the smartest apple on the tree, so I had to ask ChatGPT. That was so corny. ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT, and it said, I'll tell you the difference between a colt and a donkey. A colt is a young male donkey, usually under the age of 4. So here's Jesus, not even asking for an experienced donkey. He wants a colt that hadn't even been on the earth, but for 4 years, at least 4 years. This colt is not just any colt. It, as we just read, it was a colt that had been tied up, bound, right? Bound, tied up, and on top of that, it had never been ridden. Now, before we wrap up this entire thing, there's something I got to give you today. Actually, there's 4 of them. I want to give you 4 vantage points that stood out to me from this story. Everybody knows what a vantage point is? It's someone else's viewpoint of this situation. Vantage point number 1 was the vantage point of Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples to go to the village, and he said, there you'll find a colt that's not even been ridden. Matter of fact, he's going to be tied up. And Jesus said, I want you to untie it and bring it to me. And he said, now the owner is probably going to try to stop you. You just need to tell him the Lord needs the colt. And he said, I was really blown away by the confidence and swagger of Jesus. I need you to go into town. You're going to find a colt there. He's tied up. He doesn't even belong to us. He belongs to somebody else. Never been ridden. And I need you, don't even go in and ask. I just need you to go get it. And if somebody does come out and be like, hey, bro, what's up with this? What's going on? You got my stuff. Hands on my stuff. Brody, how would you feel if somebody got up in that semi-truck and just took off right? It'd probably be more than just a little conversation, I'm sure. See, he's confident because he already knows the outcome that's connected to their obedience. He knows there'll be resistance. Put yourself in this situation with something that God is asking you to do today, something that God has been pricking at your heart for you to do. See, he already knows there'll be resistance. He knows there will be questions, and he knows that there will be skeptics. But he said, when you encounter resistance to what I told you to do, I've got a response for you. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us in this room today that if we'll just do exactly what God is asking us to do, it's going to turn out exactly how he said it would. See, the vantage point of Jesus was if the disciples will just do exactly what I've instructed them to do, I'll take care of the details. I've always said this. God is a God of details. The vantage point of Jesus was if I can just get these boys to do what I'm telling them to do, I'll take care of everything else. I'm just going to be honest. That's where I am right now with the building of the church. God, I'll do exactly what you want me to do. I'm trusting you with all the details. I've never built anything in my life except a popsicle house with popsicle sticks over the summer. Feel safe about the building now? Vantage point number two, the owners. When we read this story, it doesn't hit the same as it did for the people in the story. Why? Because we are over 2,000 years removed from this situation. See, when we read where they began to untie the donkey and leave with him, that doesn't really mean much to us. But for them back in the day, the donkey, the colt, was their mode of transportation at some point. They were preparing him to be used for today's terms. It was their whip. It was their unit. It was their mode of transportation. Now imagine if you were walking out of Walmart and you look off in a distance to where you parked your car, and your car seems a little higher. It's actually been sitting on blocks, and there's a little dude sitting there as you're walking up, and he's down by the tire, and he's actually taking off the wheels to your car. How would you feel? Would you want to invite him to church? If I could get my hands on the little turd sucker that smashed my window at the parking lot in Tampa, we'd have a talk. I'd be like, do you know Jesus? Because you're getting ready to meet him. I told you 2 weeks ago that I was very quiet that day, which is completely weird for me, because normally when things get out of control, this gets out of control. And I was cool as a cucumber. But see, I'm trying to get you to put yourself in, because it's just a donkey, it's just a colt. No, what if somebody was trying to put their hands on something that you put value and stock in that didn't belong to them, and they turned around with a smile and said, yo, Joe Nate, the Lord needs it. Listen, I would be like, hey, bro, who told you you could touch my stuff as I reach for my nine? You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine the owner of the colt? Someone was trying to untie your property. I was reading this and I was like, the owners were stuck in their curiosity. Listen, they were stuck in their curiosity until the disciples released the words of Jesus. And then this got me thinking. Perhaps there's some things in my life, in your life, that haven't happened yet because they're waiting on me to repeat what God said. They're waiting on me to release the words from my mouth that God told me in my heart. See, before I can receive it in my hands, I gotta remember and speak what God told me in my heart. See, God tells us things, and then we just leave it there. I gotta speak it every day. Drove out to the property this week. God, I don't know how. I don't know the timing. I don't know how the finances are coming in, but it's going to take $3.5 plus million. God, there's going to be a building on, there's going to be buildings on this property soon and very soon. Vantage point number three from this story, the disciples. I think what spoke to me the most of this story was the faith of the disciples. What kind of faith do you have to go and take somebody else's stuff without permission? Just the Lord needs it. It got me thinking again. Maybe these were the same disciples. Go with me now. Maybe these were the same disciples that were at the wedding. Y'all remember the wedding? We just did this message just a few weeks ago where they ran out of water, they ran out of wine. And they came and told Jesus. Jesus' mother actually said, "Hey, they're running out of wine." He goes, "That's not my problem, woman. That's not my problem." And she even said these words to the servants: "Whatever he says, do that." Maybe these were the same disciples that understood, whatever Jesus says, go do that, because something's fixing to break out. Something's fixing to happen. If you start getting under the obedience of the Holy Spirit, the things that you've been praying for, God will burst it on the scene because of your obedience. It's our disobedience that keeps it behind the curtain. How many things in my life, like the colt, are currently tied up just waiting on my faith to rise up and for me to release it? I need you to hear this morning. I believe there are some things that are tied up and waiting on you to break your silence and release from your mouth the thing that God has already spoken to you in your heart. Say this with me. Say, I will break my silence. I will break my silence. How do I do it, Pastor? Jesus! That's all I got. That's all you need. I see how he's tying all this together from worship into this. You want to break the silence? The enemy's trying to silence you. He's trying to keep you quiet. He's trying to get you to forget about all the things and how God has moved in your life. Why? So you'll be stuck between a rock and a hard place. Vantage point number four, the colt. Imagine with me being a donkey. Someone like, I'm married to one. Okay. Come on, y'all. That was funny. You know it was. Imagine with me being a donkey. Imagine being alive for 4 years, being tied up, bound, and unused. Have you ever felt like that? Tied up, bound, and unused? You don't have to be honest. I know the truth. I'm sure every single person in this room has felt unwanted, unappreciated, bound between a rock and a hard place. And this got me thinking, how many people are rolling up into churches every weekend feeling undervalued, unwanted, unseen, unappreciated, almost to the point of lowering their standards just to be seen? That's why we got girls who really aren't, they're not nasty, but they're taking pictures of themselves and putting it on the internet so they can be looked at. You stare, you just look at me crazy. I'm telling you the truth. Because they feel unwanted, unused. We've moved beyond the days of taking pictures of our toes, making money, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe he's talking about this in church. If we don't talk about it in church, we'll never see a breakthrough and watch this stuff stop. Are you trying to make people feel bad? No, I'm not. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit right now. This ain't even my notes. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to some houses. If you don't have, we're going to talk about this next week. Do not miss next week. If you don't have boundaries in your life, expect a train wreck. If you don't have boundaries in your life, expect a train wreck. See, it's one thing to be bound. It's another to be unused, feeling like you're unwanted. I know I'm right up on your front doorstep today. Because there are many people, even in marriage, who have felt or feel unwanted and unappreciated. Might I remind you that anything that creates division is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that needs to be talked about in our marriages. The enemy is out not to make you feel bad in your marriage. He's out to destroy your marriage. I feel like I have a loaded gun this morning, and I'm just blowing some things away that the enemy is trying to convince God's people. It's just the way it is. No, it's not, and it doesn't have to be. Did you hear me? It's just the way it is. This is a giant. We're just a small community. We can never really turn this around. I mean, it's the internet. Then we need to close this book and go home, because we don't really believe that the name of Jesus is greater than that. It's time to change. Y'all, next Sunday, I'm challenging every single person. Yes, we're going to pray for our kids here, but at 4 p.m. when we go, we want to show up at the Chiefland Middle High cafeteria and have a corporate prayer with the other churches. And then we're going to Chiefland L. We're going to the elementary school, and we're going to lay hands on every door for every student that walks through those hallways. Let me tell you how we're going to change this. Stop talking about how bad it is. Actually bring the good that we carry into the situation. So I'm going to challenge you. Give 45 minutes of your time next Sunday, in addition to being at church. Show up and watch God use you to make an impact in the lives of students that you may never meet. Because when we walk on that campus, we carry the Holy Spirit. And that there's something different about that campus because of what Amy Weber carries on the inside of her. And I can talk about it because she ain't here. She's driving, unless she's watching. And I'll get a text in a minute. Stop. Stop withholding what you carry. If you got the Holy Spirit, He'll come out. Your situations and relationships will be full of peace. The fruits of the Spirit. Come on. You should see them evident in your life. And we're going to walk on that campus next week, and we're going to bring peace as we go through the hallways. Will you join me? I'm not asking you, He is. He's asking, will you join? See, we have people even sitting in churches today who have questions like, what's my purpose? When's it going to be my turn? The enemy wants to make you feel like you're unwanted, unused, washed up, no matter what age you are. If you're still here, I'll never forget Dad telling my grandmother the reason she was still here, 90-something years old, is because God was not through with her mission here on earth. He told her, when He's done, you're done. So as long as you're still breathing, you got something you need to be. God, what is my spot? I release, God, whatever. I release what I carry. I release the love. I release unconditional love. I release grace. I release mercy. I walk in unforgiveness. I mean, in forgiveness, excuse me. People walk in and they're looking at everybody else's life. How come? When's it going to be my turn? When's it going to be my time to shine? Why do they get to move forward? Why can't I? See, the enemy does a great job of showing us all the greatness of all these people, even Christians, and how God is blessing. But you don't know what they've walked through to obtain what they're walking in. Oh, here's one. I wonder if anyone will even notice if I'm gone. I've been that guy, retreating into isolation, being robbed of the joy that comes through surrender and sacrifice. Let me speak to anyone listening to my voice today who wants to hide simply because you become tired of being overlooked. People who feel like they're constantly being overlooked would rather just become camouflaged and nobody can see me. Hear me. This day for the donkey started like any other day. until two disciples showed up. You may have people in your life surrounding you that have the life of the colt, feeling unwanted, unridden, unused, unappreciated, undervalued. And he's saying, will you be like the two disciples and show up and say, God needs you. God needs you. God needs you. I showed up today to tell you God needs you. Where's all my teachers at? I know Becky, I know Ansley, who in the back. Stand. Real quick. Just stand right where you are. Listen, you have been placed where you are on purpose. As you walk into this school, I know we're supposed to do this next week. I'm telling you, as we walk into this school year, walk in those classrooms on purpose, with a purpose. I'm telling you, God needs you. If you felt like retreating and backing up, you press forward in Jesus' name. God needs you. And then what you're going to do is take this same momentum and the creative, crafty ways that you guys do, because you'll scare the crap out of a little kid if you do it like I'm doing it right now. And you're going to tell them, God needs you. Young people, God needs you. You tell them God needs you. You show them they have a purpose. You may be the only Jesus they see. You guys already know they're coming out of home situations where they don't even know how they're going to eat or where they're going to sleep. You are where you are on purpose. And God needs you. And God needs you. And God needs you. And God needs you. I'm almost done. I don't know who came to church today feeling overlooked and unchosen, but he sent me here today to tell you the Lord needs you. There is value on your life. Say that with me. Say, there is value on my life. See, there is something that only you can do the way that you can do it. The Lord needs you. You may be here today and you feel stuck, but God says, I've set you apart. You may feel paralyzed, but God says, I've put you where you are to keep you pure. You may feel restrained, but God says, you're just being reserved for something greater. Sometimes when God keeps you back, he's trying to keep you from something that he doesn't want for your life. And when we rush out to the scene because I want to be seen and I want to be chosen, I want to be valued, we're being chosen, seen, and valued by the wrong people. We got to be confident in, this is all I got. This is who I am. This is who you created me to be. I'm going to just be me. Use my life to make an impact for your kingdom. And may I live a life poured out. And I know you need me, so I'm going to live like I'm needed. Now, this is a little different today because I'm listening to his voice as I'm talking to you. In closing, here's the question. Can you trust God in the hard places? Many of you are in a hard place right now. Can you trust God? I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. So I trust in God. He's my Savior, the one who will never fail. He'll never fail. He will never fail. So what do we need to do? I need to trust God. Can you trust God even when what you're facing doesn't make sense? That's what Jesus was having to do. He was making his entrance into Jerusalem, but the circumstances were kind of weird. Watch this. There were two realities. Let's go back. Will you go back with me? He's on the colt. He's riding through, and the crowd is laying down their garments on the ground for the donkey to cross over. there were two realities. On one hand, the crowd was screaming, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And on the other hand, Jesus is weeping. On one hand, it's a celebration parade. On the other hand, it's a funeral procession. On one hand, the Pharisees are trying to get the people to be quiet. On the other hand, Jesus, it says, if they silence their voice, the rocks will cry out. On one hand, the crowd was laying down their cloaks along the road. On the other hand, in just a few days, they would be ripping off Jesus' garments and throwing them on the ground. Worship team, come. I'm through when I tell you this. I told you at the beginning of this message that we have two options. The first one was we can either press forward or we can retreat and go back. And the Holy Spirit reminded me this week there is a third option. Everybody say, there's a third option. Here it is. You don't have to press and you don't have to retreat. Sometimes all you just got to do is take advantage of the lean option. Lean on the rock that is higher than I. Maybe you came here today and you feel like you're in between a rock and a hard place. And you don't have the strength to keep pressing on. God sent me here today to remind you, quit fighting and lean. Quit fighting and lean. Quit stressing and lean. Quit pressing and lean. This is your season to lean on the rock. Because why? Because the hard place is no match for the rock. What you're facing is no match for the rock. Silence the noise by calling on the rock. Silence the noise by calling on the name of Jesus. Who's the rock? Christ Jesus is the rock of my salvation. The Bible says he is the stone that the builders rejected. He is our chief cornerstone. He is my firm foundation. What's the game? The trust fall? I trust you. No, do not move. What's the trust fall? You got me? You laugh, but you ask God that all the time. And just like y'all laugh, that's what the angels in heaven do when we ask, God, I'm going to do it, but you got me? And they're probably like, if he didn't have you, be on your face. It's God, I'm between a rock and a hard place. And I'm too tired to keep pressing. And I refuse to retreat and go back. So I don't have anything else to do but to trust that you got me. And listen, you stay here for as long as you need under the shelter of the Almighty. I mean, get comfortable with it. This looks funny because most people aren't doing it. I know you were laughing because it's different. But that's how the enemy wants you to be. He wants you to feel like, if I do that, I'm going to look like a fool. Silence the noise. Silence the noise. And you get back. And until you get to a place where you're strong and you can move forward, Not on your own, but with him. See, this is what I know. And they're going to close out with a song. This is what I know. And we're going to worship right before we leave. This is what I know. Trusting God is who he is. It's what he does. He'll never fail us. Ever. So if you're here this morning between a rock and a hard place and you don't know, I have no... Lean on the rock. Find a place this week to worship. So that when you come in here, you know why people have a hard time. I'm done. I know. He just keeps talking to me. You know why people come in here and they get uncomfortable in worship? Because it's uncomfortable to them. Because it's unfamiliar to them. But when you worship outside of here and you have a heart of gratitude and I worship, when you come in here, you're just arriving back at a place you already, now you just have extra people here with you. Did you follow me? So get familiar with his presence. So when you come in here, it's not awkward because the enemy's trying to get you to be quiet and silenced. Lean on the rock. He wants you to because that's, ready Bryson? Because that's who he is and that's what he does. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that it has been encouraging and challenging to us to lean in to you today in Jesus' name. Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.